The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
روح عشان تنحن بقى لأن ترى يزبز من صرف وأش لما ربنيت سرابات يعني لأن أنا فرادا فتا نيفج وفتا قوف فتا كنا بعد بابي خيني نصر من الوار أمين بيجن ترى يزبز من عين بيت أمود بيت and we start two lines on the bottom تارو ربنا أموليك حبيلا مركوم لمركوم okay merchant is transporting goods from one place to another place I guess he wants to get the higher price. And the other place to get the higher price for the goods. So his fellow met him and said, give it to me. I'll sell the goods and I'll pay you later. Which means I'll give you the higher price. Give me the goods and I'll pay you whatever the higher price is that you can get in that other place. As she says, bottom line, now let me take the goods. He wants to use the money also. I'm going to sell the goods and use the money for a little while. But I'll pay you, don't worry, for the goods at the higher price that you were planning on getting over. So Gemara says, Beshut mocher mutar. Beshut lokeah asur. Okay, we understand that very clearly. It depends whose possession it's going to remain in. If the seller accepts responsibility, so therefore it's considered the seller's goods. So therefore it's not considered a...
Who's the seller?
The seller is the guy that's giving the goods to this guy,
not the friend, the first guy.
The first guy, the guy that has the goods, and he meets a friend. The friend says, "Give me the goods, and I'll pay you a higher price. I'll pay you a higher price." So as long as this first guy keeps possession, the first seller. There's two sellers of it. There's the first seller and there's the second seller. So as long as the first seller keeps possession, so therefore it's not a loan. It's my goods. So I'm accepting responsibility for these goods, no matter what happens to them. So since all the responsibility is on the first seller, so that she says, Bereshut mocher, im kibel alav mocher achrayut aderech, if the first seller accepts upon himself, achrayut, responsibility, mutar, de'en kan malvem, I'm not lending you the goods, ad shetimkor, until you sell it, v'chol mas shenimkar beyoker, whatever you're going to sell at the higher price, shel ba'alim harishonim, it's my goods. So therefore, right away it becomes mine. So that was not going to be a problem. If the seller assumes full responsibility for the merchandise until it is sold in the second place, then the person taking the merchandise from there cannot be considered a buyer at all. Rather, he acts as the seller's agent to sell the merchandise in the second place. And once the merchandise is sold at the higher price, he becomes the borrower of the money. Thus, the transaction cannot...
He has to sell first.
Right, he has to sell it,
and then
he becomes the borrower. Thus, the transaction cannot be prohibited on account of surcharge for a credit. Because there is no sale on credit. Right? I'm not giving you, it's my goods. Furthermore, Matt realized by selling the merchandise in the second place, which is the amount of the loan, is returned to the lender without any interest. Okay, that's obvious, no interest. Bishut mocher mutar, bishut lokeya asur. Okay, but if it remains in the reshut of the lokeya, not remains, which is if the guy takes responsibility, the guy who's bringing the goods to sell it, so now already it's a loan. Oh, so now it's also getting to use the money. So what's the problem? If the buyer accepts responsibility for the merchandise, as soon as he takes it, he has bought it at that moment. Oh, the higher price he agrees to pay for the merchandise represents a surcharge for the delay of payment. Good. Therefore, it's a problem of the beat. Oh, we understand. Okay, amorich perot makom lemakom. The same thing. Guys are bringing perot from place to place. Mitzaoch haverov amaloi. Guy's friend sees him and says, Tenam li v'ani elecha perot sheshli b'oto makom. Oh, give him to me. And I'll pay you back with fruit that I have in a different place. I mean, it's a switch. You give me your perot now, and I'll pay you with my perot later. Look at that, she in the fourth line. Tenam li, ve'uchlam kan, I'll eat the fruit here. And I'll pay you back fruit that I have in a different place over there. So Gemara says, im yesh lo perot be'oto makom mutat. If he actually has fruit in a different place, mutat. Ve'im lab asur. What's the difference? Ashi. Since he has the fruit right now, we consider it as a barter. And therefore, if I forgot, even though he didn't take them, even though the guy that sold him the fruit didn't take the other guy's fruit, he didn't make mashicha, this is not the beat that we're right over here. What are we worried about? We're worried about by the time he gets the fruit is going to be a higher price. Therefore, he's giving him fruit and he's getting a higher price. Since this is, at worst, all these fruit of the banana, the rabbis are not making gezerah when the fruit is in stock, and it's available, therefore we consider it as if the fruit was immediately transferred. Therefore, if it goes up in the seller's possession, therefore it's not going to be a problem. Okay. En lo, next Rashi. En lo boto makom asur. Te beskaram tanato natan no ze b'mkom ayoker. Right. Basically what he's doing is, he's getting a fruit, and that he doesn't have to pay him immediately, so it sounds like he's paying him a higher price. He's paying him higher price. So that's like the beat.
No, that's regular se'ab-se'ab.
Which is a problem. Se'ab-se'ab has a problem, which means when I'm going fruit for fruit, and you don't have the fruit in your possession, so therefore I'm worried about the fruit might go up. So therefore it's going to look like a beat situation. The bischaram tanato, that you don't have to pay me right away, until you get the fruit, so therefore it looks like a beat. The hamarim, what's hamarim? Those are people that, donkey drivers, right? What about these guys? Ma'alim memakom ayoker kebemkom azol ve'enam hosheshim. Rashi. Hachamarim amestakirim betvua. They work in wheat. Mevi'im memakom azol memakom ayoker. They bring from the cheap place to sell it in the more expensive place. Utah lehem nikach ma'ot meba'ale batim ashirim bemkom ayoker. Which is they could take the high price from the rich guys in the place where they go sell. Which means they are able to take, I guess, advance payment for the product of the wheat. Then they're going to deliver the fruit. Then choshim sheir beit tzchar amtanat ma'ot kemefresh ve'azir. Now, they have a problem, because they're getting advance payment. So they have the money already. So if they have the money already, and they're going to promise to give goods later on, what they're doing is, they're taking money from these ba'alei batim, wherever they're selling them, and they're going to eventually deliver them fruit for the cheaper price. So basically, the ba'al habayit that's paying is getting more than he paid for. So the problem is, it looks like the beat. Again, he's giving him $1,000 for a certain amount of perot. By the time they deliver it, they're getting it for cheaper. The way is over here is, just so you see the Hamarim story is, what do these guys do? Donkey drivers would buy produce in a place where prices were cheap, in the villages. Transport to an expensive place to sell. In this case, they accepted advance orders in the expensive place, but charged the lower prices. The driver were fully responsible for the goods until they were delivered to the customers. Oh, so if they're fully responsible for the goods, the transaction certainly seems to constitute a beat, because the buyer would receive more value than he paid for, as measured by local prices. How can it be permissible? Again, so they're giving a good deal, basically. And it sounds like they're giving the good deal because they got an advance in the money. Because they got paid in advance. They're going to deliver the good. By the time they deliver the good, they give them the cheap price. And they're fully responsible for the for the goods. So therefore, the money's like a loan. So therefore, how can you say that they can take money and then give a cheaper price? It sounds like they are delivering back the beat. So the Gemara doesn't answer this question. The Gemara says two reasons why. My tama, the papa ani haleu de maglu leutara. The first reason is when they get cash. Now, when they go to the market, it seems they get a advantage in the market because they have cash in their hands. So they open the market gates for them. They give them all sorts of advantages when it comes to selling or buying goods. As she says, "Shayedem ma'otav shel zeh hem nikarim soharim." They have a good reputation as merchants. Umakirim otam ba'alei batim shel makom azu venotim lehem bahakafa. They'll give them credit. So therefore, it's got nothing to do with the fact that they got paid in advance. These guys are happy to give a discount in order for them to get an advantage. Which means the discount that they're giving to the rich guy that paid them is not for the time on their money. It's for the advantage that they benefit in the market. Again, we said it's interest. Right, the Hamad is paying interest to the rich guy. No, we don't look at his interest. You know, we look at it as, I'm willing to pay you, to give you a better price, because I get an advantage from this. What's my advantage? When I go to the market now, they give me courtesies. They sell me goods and things like that. So therefore, which means even if you didn't give me time on my money, which is even if, let's say, that I wasn't able to do anything with the money and use it and things like that, I still would have paid a little extra, give you a better deal, because I'm benefiting. So long as I'm benefiting, it's not considered the beat. Because the Hamad is paying for a benefit. The Hamad is paying for an advantage that he gets. What's the advantage that he gets? That they're gonna deal with him. What did you call that? When they arrive with ample funds, they open the gates. The drivers arrive with funds received from rich customers. They gained a name of being high-class merchants. When they came to buy products and supplies, their reputation stood them in good stead. The suppliers opened the door for them, extend them credit. Thus, the reduced price they charged their customers was not on account of early payment and the driver's use of the funds, but rather because of the financial privileges that they got. So they would have paid it anyway, by the way. Even if they didn't have an advantage of using the money, let's say, that they got, they still would have paid for that advantage. Now the Gemara gives another advantage. The Gemara says, "Arava habered of Ika Amad nihalihu de mozlu gabayu." Oh, they like to get paid in advance. They like to do this deal because they're going to get an advantage. They're going to get a cheaper price for the goods now, because when the wholesaler finds out that they sold the goods for cheap, so they'll drop the price for them as well. So it seems they like to get a cheaper price from the wholesaler. The wholesaler finds out, oh, they're cheap, they sell this price cheap, so they'll get an advantage. So for them, it's worth it to get to chop down the wholesaler to give a lower price. So they're willing to pay the rich guy an advantage for that, what they're getting. So again, you're not paying, I'm not giving you an advantage and it'll beat. I'm giving you an advantage for something that I'm getting back. My benayu, what's the difference between the two answers? Basically the same answer. The Gemara says, Ika benayu, tagra hata. Okay, a new merchant.
They don't know.
A new merchant, they don't know. So what does that mean? Since they don't know. Now, if he's coming, according to the first answer, with cash, they're going to open up the gates. New merchant, old merchant, doesn't matter. They're going to open up the gates. So that advantage he has. But according to the second advantage, which is what? The second advantage is that they're going to drop the price. So I don't know if they're going to drop the price on the new merchant. Why? As she says, they don't believe him. They don't believe that he's really selling it for cheap. A guy that they know already, when he comes, and by the way, I'm selling this item for dirt cheap, I have a relationship, oh, you know, I'll give you a price as well. But when a new customer comes into the warehouse and tells the wholesaler, listen, by the way, I'm selling this stuff for nothing, who are you? Therefore, they're not going to give them this discount, so therefore, to make enough coming up, the seller is a new guy or not. Give us this. We continue. As the arba arba. Okay, so wow, the product was what? Four prezus? Four wheat prezus, whatever it is. Be capri. As the Nachita Shita, on Capri one for six per Zeus. Okay, cheap. Yehiv Rav Zuzeh Lahamare. So Rav lived in Sura. He gave money to the donkey drivers. Okay, well, if you give money to the donkey drivers, how much are you going to receive?
Six.
To receive more than four per Zeus. Because I guess what? That was the whole thing of the donkey drivers. You give them a Zeus, they get it for you, they give you more. Right? You give them the money in advance. וקביל עלי ונסדורה. Oh, but he took responsibility for the goods. Now, once Rav takes responsibility for the goods, so there's no problem of the beat bichlal, because it's his goods immediately, which means he took responsibility for the goods. So therefore, it's not as if they owe him the money anymore. Now already the goods are on Rav. And still, what does the Gemara say? Veshakil minayu hamisha. But he only took from them, when they delivered, five persons. So Rav did two things over there that are a little mahmir. Number one, he didn't have to accept responsibility. Because didn't we just say that the donkey drivers, it's not a debit over here. Because the donkey drivers are getting a benefit by getting the money in order to get a cheaper price by the warehouse, or to get, you know, a chance that they're considered the highline merchants, and the gate will open up for them. So the Chaura, he should be able to take six.
Yeah, take more.
No, whatever the price is. The choice was between four and six. So he prepaid for four, he should be able to receive six. We learned that the law of the donkeys is it's not a beat, no problem. What he did, and he paid for it already, the problem is, paying is not the problem. He paid for his zoos, and therefore we said you can really get the higher price, or the better deal.
He's supposed to get six.
So why did he take five? So first of all, he was mahmir on that. And not, secondly, he was mahmir that he doesn't have to accept responsibility for the goods. Even if the Hamar accepts responsibility from the goods, it's not considered a beat. We said because of the advantage that the Hamar gets. What was Rav doing? Then it's called Shita. Let him take six, the Gemara asks. Adam Hashuv Shani. He is a prominent person. Therefore, he has to be more meticulous. Since he took upon himself responsibility for the product, by the way, he could freely take six measures without any question of the beat. Exactly. Right, he did so to avoid any question. Since he accepted responsibility of the product is essentially in his possession as soon as he purchased it. Now, now, as measured by Capri Pai, he did not receive more money value than he paid for. It was his goods. He accepted responsibility for the goods already. It's like he bought the goods immediately. It's not like he's giving the money and the Hamad has responsibility for he owes him and all that. So basically, that was being very mahmir. Why was he so mahmir? Because he's Adam Hashuv. He didn't want to even give the appearance of the beat over here. They look up to him. Therefore, he wants to do everything, you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Okay, whatever we just said now by the fruit, we want to know, do you say the same law regarding scrap metal?
I was wondering that.
Amaleh, bikesh Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi la'asot ken b'chli pishtan. Rabbi Yishmael wanted to say the same deal when it comes to linen clothes. Ve'lo eniho Rabbi, but Rabbi did not allow him. Ikada amri bikesh Rabbi la'asot b'krutaot ken. What's basically the subject over here? In this case over here, we say it's not the beet because we're talking about wheat. Wheat is a steady item that's in the market. Therefore, I say it's not the beet because when he goes to the warehouse, to the wholesaler has a relationship with this guy. It's a steady product. He'll give him a cheaper price as a result of it because he knows he's going to come back to buy more stuff. Items that there's a steady flow, you could say that there's an advantage to the hamar. Mashaken grutaot, scrap metal, which is a... You don't conduct business too often in scrap metal, so you can't really say that the wholesaler is giving an advantage. He doesn't even know if the guy's going to ever come back to him even. It's not such an item that's dealt with so common, so we don't know how serious the advantage is in the first place. Which means, you got glutaot, a piece of broken metal. Rav Asir's question is whether the Braita sanctioned advance payment applies specifically dealing in produce, or whether it also applies to other lines of goods, scrap metal. Produce was a steady line. Deal would usually patronize the same suppliers. Since the donkey driver could expect to receive benefits from the supplier because he has a relationship with him. Cheaper price and stuff, but scrap metal was not a regular line. Drivers would not necessarily return to buy additional scrap metal. Nor would the suppliers from whom they bought necessarily have more to sell at a future date. Right, it's an item that's not really available so much. The advantages to the driver for taking advance orders might therefore not be realized, and therefore could be a beat. The Gemara says, indeed it is. The rabbi said, this hetir is only on items that there's a steady line, and it is available. Now one more point, Bartesa. Okay, what is that? Advance payment to the future yield of a vineyard. Okay, before the grapes are ripened, the buyer pays in advance for the wine yield. He pays much less. Rav Asar Ushmoel Shareh. Rav Asar Kivan El Kameh Shav Yatfeh. Right, very simple. Since in the future it's going to be worth more, Mitchazeki Agan Natarne. Right, it's a reward for waiting. I gave you money, so you're giving me an advantage because I gave you money. Therefore, you're giving me more wine. Looks like the beat. Ushmoel Shareh. What's the reason for Shmoel? Kivan Dehave Beti Yuha. Misfortune can befall the vineyard. No problem. Why? Risk and reward. What could happen? By the time you deliver, it could be the wine gets all spoiled or the grapes get all... So therefore, it can go either way. Therefore, it's not going to beat. That Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimi ben Chaya, Umodeh Rav betored Ravish besadao. Rav will agree in a case where they collect the grapes from the field. If they collect the grapes from the field using oxen, we'd have wagons of oxen. Even he'll agree it's not a problem because the chances are very high that the grapes are going to get smashed. Because when you collect the grapes with oxen, the oxen could step on the vines and things like that. So even he will agree that it's not a problem of the beat because the risk is very great. Shemuel said to these people, Shabshe Shibsha. What is that? they lend seeds to sharecroppers. What's the case over here? The guy's a sharecropper. It's not his field. He just works the field and he gives a certain yield to the owner. But he needs seeds. So he goes to the owner and says, do me a favor. Could you lend me seeds? Lend me seeds so I can,
plant.
So he used to tell the owners that were lending the seeds, hafuchu ba'ara. Go and dig the ground a little, till the ground a little. Why? Ki echi dekane lechu gufa de'ara. So you should acquire the rights in the actual land. Ve'ilo havi lechu kalva'a ba'asur. What are we worried about over here? So he says over here, tilling the land is as if he's acquiring it. We are concerned here with the case. The sharecropping contract had already been consummated. Now, generally, a sharecropper has a vested interest in the land and is regarded a partner with the landowner. In this case, Shmuel advised the landowner to perform a formal act of acquisition and thereby retain solely for themselves part of the field to be excluded from the sharecropping contract in exchange for the supply of the seed. Any product that goes on that part belongs completely to the landowner. After the harvest, the landowner's claim to the seed he lent can be satisfied from that part of the land. Thus, the landowner is essentially claiming his own seed. But what were we worried about? What's like the beat?
It's a loan.
Under the terms of the sharecropping contract, the sharecropper was required to supply the seeds with which to plant. If he had no seeds, he might borrow from the landowner before the sowing season to be repaid by the same amount of seed after the crop was harvested. That's the problem. Which means I'm borrowing seed and you're going to pay me the seeds later. If you're going to pay the seeds later, the seeds could be went up. So therefore, what did he do? The rabbi would tell the landowner, go to that one part of the field, till it, whatever, so you own it, and whatever he's going to pay back, we'll say the seeds were paid back from that part of the field which you owned. So therefore, you're getting back your own seeds. No problem. One more case. Gemara says, "Amar li Rav Anu dimintare bage." What's mintare bage? These guys would guard fields. Watchmen. They guarded grain fields. Oh. So here's the story. Watchmen guarded the grains growing on fields. Although their work terminated when the grain was reaped, they were not paid until the grain was threshed and marketed. Which means their job was to watch a certain process. Okay, after they watched it, their job was basically done. But they wouldn't get paid till later on. As a result, for waiting for their payment, they would get a bonus. That's like a beat. You're paying me extra because you owe me the money now, so you're giving me extra. So the Gemara says, so he would tell these guys that were watching the baguette, watching the fields, guarding the fields, puku, afoku, you know what? Go and help the guys in the threshing floor do work. Yes. Do work. Go help. The skirut ena mishtalemet el basof, ishata ozudeka mozdega baichu, which means continue working until they pay you. So therefore you can say that the bonus that they're giving you is for the extra work that you did. Which is, if you're just going to sit now and do nothing, so you're really getting, it looks like you're getting interest for the time that you waited to get paid. But now that you're working in the threshing field, so therefore your job isn't finished yet. And therefore, we know that when you pay somebody, payment is paid at the end. Wages are paid at the end. End of the term. So your term didn't end earlier. Your term ended later. And therefore, you're getting paid after the term is finished. But if your term ended earlier, and you're getting paid later, and you're getting paid extra, so that's for time. Oh, that's what's the beat. So you don't keep on working. Help the guys in the threshing field in order to not have a problem. Ozdu de kamos. They bring in for the imposter, give you a bonus. No problem. Keep yourselves in the owner's employ till the end of the threshing season. Very good. So the Gemara continues. Amru le rabbanan le rava ka'achil mor rebit. So the rabbis told Rava, you're eating rebit. You're benefiting from interest. Why? V'chule alma shak le arba'a u'mesalke la'arisin benisan. The normal deal with sharecroppers is their term ends in Nisan and they collect from the sharecropper 4 per year. That's the shi'ud of the deal that they made with the sharecroppers. However, they get four kur, let's say, after Ru'ah. That's the price. However, mor natal lehu ad iyab. You give them an extra month to pay you. However, v'shakin shita. But you end up taking six. So the Chaurat sounds like the beat, because you give them an extra month to make their payment, and it sounds like you're charging them for the time, and therefore, it is the beat. He turned it around on them. Amar lehu, atun ka'avditun shelo kadin. You're telling me I'm doing wrong? You're doing wrong. Ara le'ariz mishta'abed. The field belongs to the Aris, to the sharecropper, which means you give the field to the sharecropper to do work. E atun mislakitu lehu benisan, by throwing them off in Nisan and finishing their term, mafsiditu lehu bechama, you're causing them to lose a lot. Because it seems from Nisan to Iyad, that's when they start to get the profits. So by ending their term on Nisan, so you're causing them a loss. By me extending their term until Iyad, ana natina lehu ad Iyad, marvachna lehu bechama. Which means that I'm not charging them extra for the beat. I'm charging them extra because they're making more. Which means by giving them an extra month, that's part of the rent now. So therefore I'm charging them an extra two, not because they owe me four in Nisan, and therefore for the extra month I'm charging them the beat. No. By giving them extra time to work on the field, I'm giving them a chance to make more profit, and therefore I'm charging them an extra month. By you kicking them off in Nisan, you're doing them wrong. Look at Rashi. Rashi on the bottom. She says, Shakle arba'a, kurin b'hachirut ha-sadeh. They got four kur for the hachirut of the field. U'misalke l'arisa b'nisan. Kofin otam. Force them. Liksor tibu'ato l'ustalek memenna b'nisan. Finish. Cut the wheat. Take whatever you're going to get and get out of here in Nisan. Umor, mishum dinatre le'ad iyar. You give them an extra month. Shakir shita. Initially, we're thinking the reason why the price went up is because of the extra time. Atun udavitu shlo kedin sheatem misalkin otam b'nisan ba'adayin lo nitmalita tevua b'kasheha. The wheat did not fully ripen yet. Umefsidin otam arbe. And therefore you cause them a loss. V'ara'a l'arisa mishtar bed ad sh'tetbashil ha'tevu'a kosurka. Really, they're supposed to stay on the field until the wheat ripens totally. Hilkak shelo kedinu kefiyatchem. You're forcing them to go off the field before the wheat ripens. You're doing wrong. Ana natanu ad iyar u'marvachna lu bechama. V'schar sadi ani noten. What am I charging? I'm charging them an extra two for rental of my field. That's why I am giving more time to them. It's not for the Dalit Kurin that they owe me. On the contrary, I am giving them more opportunity for another month to make money, and therefore that's why I'm charging more. Mafliz, I'm increasing my hachirut, I'm increasing my price up to six. Not because they owe me four in time. It's because they're going to make more as well. Because I'm giving them the time to cash in more money. So comes the Gemara and says, Sadeh Maaseh. Rav Mori Bar Rachel. Now we know, normally this is a strange thing, to call the rabbi by his mother's name. So that she right away tells us, Bat Shemuel Hava. Really, she was the daughter of Shemuel, v'nishbit, but she was taken into captivity. V'nasa nochri. What happened was, the daughter of Shemuel was taken into captivity and a goy went with her. V'nitgayir, then he converted in the end. V'sheme isur giyura, they called him isur, the geir. V'rav mori horato shelo b'kdusha. He was conceived shelo b'kdusha. The guy was still a goy. V'lidato b'kdusha. Then he converted. So since the conception of Rav Mori was shelo b'kdusha, they didn't want to mention his father's name. ומחמד כבודו תלו על שם אמו. So they called him Ramori Bar Rahel, to go after the mother. Anyway, what was the case that took place over here? So the Gemara says, Ramori Bar Rahel Mashkan Leahu Nochri Beta. Which means, it seems he lent money to a goy. So what did the goy do? The goy gave him his house as a mortgage. So he tells him he can live in the house, just like we learned many times already, that they would give him mashkon to the lender, and the lender would be able to benefit and live in the house. And that was the deal. Now, of course, you have to say that this mashkanta was done according to the... Yeah, to the rules, but actually it's a goy, so you don't have to worry about it. Problem is, you're going to sell it now. So comes the Gemara and says, Hadar Zavna Lirava. The goy who still owns the property, he went and he sold it to Rava. Natar Teresar Yerheshata. So Rav Mori, he waited 12 months, because we're going to see that's the normal time that a mashkanta is given over to the lender. And he didn't go to Rava to charge him any rent. He didn't ask him for any rent for 12 months. Shakal agar beta amte le Rava. Which means, then he took the agar beta, the rental, and he brought it to Rava. Which means in the 13th month, after the 13th month, once that 1 month passed, we know en sechirut el lebasof. So now already he owed him rent for the 13th month. So after that month passed, Rav Mori brought the rental, the payment, to Rava. Why? He says, the stam, so he told him, Amar le, Rav Mori explains himself, Hay de lo amte lemor agar beta ad idana. The reason why I didn't pay you until now, the stam mashkanta shatta. For stam, the mashkon that's given to a person is given to him for a year. And therefore, meaning, even if the love would try to pay me within the time, he cannot misselect me, he cannot take me off the field. Therefore, basically, it's considered like my field or my house. If the goy would want to throw me out of the field within the given time, he would not be able to. And therefore, I was zoche to live in this house over here for at least 1 year, for free. And really, he has no right to sell it. And if he sells it, I certainly don't have to pay you rent, because really, it's my zechut. However, now that the year is up, hashtar lishkol mor agar beta. Now, go take the rental for next year. Which, even though he didn't pay back the field yet, he didn't pay back the loan yet, so technically he can really stay there until he pays him back. But he felt only a year, therefore he gets a free rental over there, and that doesn't have to pay Rava. But now already the year's up, so he wanted to make good and start to pay Rava. So Amar le, so Rava says, "Oh, I didn't know this." Yava yadana daava memushkan ledemor. Had I known that this field was mortgaged to you, lo ava zebinina le, I would not have bought it. Why? Because you remember we learned earlier, one of the reasons why we call a mashkon is melashon lishkon is either to live, or a shachen is a neighbor. Why do we call mashkanta melashon shachen, a neighbor? Because the din of bar matzra applies to the one that's holding the mashkanta. Normally the din is what? When you're selling the field, you have to sell it, give first rights of first refusal to the neighbors. So we said the one that's holding the mashkon, he's like the neighbor. And therefore when you're selling, you got to sell it to him first. So he said, I wouldn't have bought it if I would have known you had it. Like, you have really first rights. In any event, what does he tell him now? Hashta bidinem avdin anach. Now, to your advantage, Rav Mori, I'm going to treat this transaction the way the goyim would treat it, which is what? Kol emad delo misalkeh bezuzeh lo shakil agar beta. Which means they don't take rent by the goyim until the loan is actually paid. Which means I am not going to take this rent that you're giving me now until they till you pay you, and then it'll go to Jews. Really, according to the Goyim, he has no right to sell it yet. Really, he only has, because it really belongs to Ramori. He had no right to sell it according to the Goyim's law, because Balmai can live in it until the end. So he says, so I'm not going to take a rent so long as you're able to live in it. Really, according to the name of the Jews, after 1 year, it's over. You know what? Since it's you, we'll give you a courtesy. Now let's read that sheet. She says, Adar Nochri, the Nochri then came, Vizavna le Rabbi, sold it to Rabbi. Natar Shata. המתין רב מורי שנה שלמה שקל אגר ביתה משנה הבאה ואמתל לרבה. For the second year rental, already he came and he gave it to, not the whole year, gave him a month, he paid him. That's what I learned. עד אלו אמתי הבאתי לא שקל לאגר ביתה עד שאכוף את הנוכרי לשלם לך מעותך. Which means, I am not going to take my rent until the goy is going to pay you. The ends of the beat. That's right. There's no beat over here, the Gaber Rava. No, he doesn't really. There's no loan. Rava didn't borrow any money over here. So he said, I'm going to make sure he pays you. I'll make sure he pays you. So, no problem. He's getting the house, but the house has nothing to do with the beat. He didn't borrow any money. He says, I'm going to force this guy to pay you. And I'm not paying your rent. I'm going to follow their laws. Once he pays you, then already I'll take possession of it. Then you could then it'll be mine. So therefore, the Gemara says that in this case over there, there would be no problem. There would be no problem for Rava to do such a thing. Amar Rava mebarnish, Rav Asher, hazeh mor Rabbanan tekaachle Rabita. What's the matter? The rabbis, he says, are taking Rabit. They're paying money for wine in Tishri, according to whatever the price is in Tishri. Oh, and then when Tevet comes, they come along and they start to choose the wine. Now, they're paying prepayment. And as a result of it, they're accepting upon themselves, the seller is accepting upon himself responsibility. Of course, he got prepaid. I'm responsible that if the wine spoils, I'm going to pay. Now, what's the law normally? When you add prepayment, and the guy accepts upon himself, the seller accepts upon himself responsibility for the goods, that turns into a loan, because he's guaranteeing the goods. So I owe it to you, regardless what happens. Now, when it comes to Tevet, and he gives them the wine goes up. So therefore, it's a problem of the beat. That's what they're saying, the rabbis are charging the beat. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, they take good wine in Tibet. Now, if they would have taken the wine, Tishri, Dilma Avu Mahmitz, could have been, it would have turned into vinegar. They prepaid. There was no fixed price yet. So therefore the mocher accepted upon himself responsibility for not picking it up till Tevet, but I'm getting money. So for that money that he's getting prepaid, he's going to take care of it. Which means in this case over here that she's bothered, but over there we said the person has wheat in his stock, so we said yeshlo. So if he has wheat in his stock, it's okay. So the chora, he has wine in his stock already, so what's the problem? So it says wheat is more staple, it doesn't spoil, so therefore we consider it not a problem when you transact forward paying and the seller has the goods in his possession. it's okay. But shaken here, it's really, what do you call it, a good chance that the wine is indeed going to spoil. And therefore, he's getting, and he's taking responsibility for that. So the yeshlo is not going to help. On a case where the items are really cut off to become spoiled, even the whole thing, so therefore, basically what he's doing is, he's paying him back, he's taking no risk, the buyer is taking no risk, and he's going to get guaranteed payment, and he's going to get more, he's going to get good wine in Tibet. So that was the claim. What are you doing? You're taking the beat. That was the claim out against good. Now, of course, the wine in Tishri is cheaper than the wine in Tevet. That's why you have the beet situation over here. Correct. So let's give a case. So he gives a case. Guy had 1,000 barrels of wine in Tishri. Okay? And let's say, until Tevet came, 10 barrels, let's say, became spoiled, became vinegar. So he's going to sell them in Tevet, 990 barrels, and the 10 that became spoiled, he's going to charge them for the 1,000 habiyot of Tishri prices. Comes out like this. A person that comes to buy wine in Tevet is going to pay more for all the barrels of wine, because you have to factor in the loss over there.
That's why it's more expensive.
Because kind of in between Tishri and Tevet, there's spoilage factors. So therefore the price of the wine goes up in between, because you have to factor in that you're not going to get, there's a chance that the wine is not going to be... You're going to get better goods.
Whatever spoils going to be there, spoiled,
right?
That comes to it. You get perfect goods, so it's more money.
Right. Whatever is spoiled is gone.
So now you have friends.
So the wine is good. The wine is good. Correct. So therefore, in this case over here, he accepted the punishment of all the spoilage. And therefore, he's going to get now...
barrels for a cheaper price.
Right? More barrels for a cheaper price. For the old price, for the street price, for the cheaper price. That's basically the story over here. Okay. So he says here, the mashal, if he had a adam with such a 1,000 habiyot yain b'tishri. Okay, and until Tevet, 9 barrels or 10 barrels became spoiled, he's going to sell in Tevet 990 habiyot a yain, and the 10 habiyot that it means, he's going to sell it for the price of 1,000 habiyot of Tishri.
Right.
So therefore, Nimsashim, he should be Kishkun Yain B'Tevet. The guy that says he wants to buy the wine in Tevet, Yishalem Yoter Avur Kol Habit Yain. Yishalem Alokel B'Tishri, what he's going to pay in Tishri. Yes, cover his losses. Okay, so basically, that's why it's a problem. Right. Because basically, you have more losses. That's right. So Amale. So he told them, it's not a problem. Inu name achamra kayehave achala lo kayehave. Meikara de chamra chamra de chala chala. Ishata u de kamebachare. What he told them is like this: when they're giving him the money for the wine, they're not paying for the vinegar, which is initially he's paying them only for wine. And therefore, whatever was wine at the time will remain wine, was wine already. And whatever is going to be vinegar at the end by Tevet is vinegar already now. Which means there was already a kilkul in the wine from the beginning. But you couldn't notice it, let's say. It wasn't recognizable. And therefore, we could say, I only purchased the good wine. And therefore, it's not considered the beat. Which means at the time in Tishri, already I chose the good wine. And whatever I left became spoiled. And therefore, I never bought the barrels of vinegar to start off with. And therefore, that which I'm getting good wine is because I bought good wine, not because I'm getting reward for the money that I gave you. Which means, till now we thought, Sibi, you're giving me, I forward paying you, because I'm forward paying you, so therefore in Temed you're giving me, let's say, better barrels, all the barrels of wine, and therefore I'm not getting the...
Can you return the vinegar?
Right, I'm not getting the vinegar. So therefore, that's an advantage to me. He said, no, the way it's working in, whatever is in the Adam and Tishri. So when I came to buy it in Tishri, I'm buying wine. So when you give me the wine in Temed, it's not giving me an advantage. That's what I bought. The vinegar became spoiled. It became spoiled from then already. I never transacted on that. Look at Ashi. Ashi says, "Meikara, mishas shelecho, dechamra chamra, dechalach halach, kelkelu kelkelo betocho." Who? Rashenu nikar. The yain emekulkal lo lakach emenu. Means he never bought. In the Adam, you know, we thought he's buying what? These 1,000 barrels, whatever it is, including these 10 over here. And the guy was what, taking responsibility. Now, if anything else was, he'll cover it. Well, so that's a loan. So now, when the Tevet comes along, he pays him an extra 10 barrels of the good wine now. Oh, that's a beat. When he was buying in Tishri, he was never buying barrels that were spoiled. He was only buying barrels that were real wine. The spoiled wine never comes into the... So when he gives him wine, at the end, that's what he bought. Price. Therefore, it's not considered a problem of the VP. So again, just to review, basically, a guy went to his friend in Tishri, and he told him, I want to buy 1,000 barrels of wine. The price is cheap, let's say. The guy said, I guarantee it to you, delivery in Tevet. I guarantee the money for the whatever, I guarantee all the 1,000 barrels. And Tevet, by that time already, they're spoiling. Therefore, the 1,000 barrels really becomes 990 barrels. So therefore, when he delivers 990, I guaranteed. So therefore, he's guaranteeing an extra 10. Chaura, he's paying back what he owes, and he's giving back extra barrels, 10 barrels. Chaura, that's the beat. You want to answer? No. When he made the original transaction, the vinegar barrels were there already. I never transacted to buy vinegar from you. I transacted to buy wine. You accepted upon yourself to give me wine. So in Tevet, when you give me wine, that's not the beat. That's not. That is the transaction itself. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ravina, haba yaiv zuze lebne akra de shanvata." It's a certain place. They live by the river in Babel. So he would give them money for wine before the price even was established. Right? V'shefchele tefe kufita. Now on their own, what do these people do over here? Very good. They would put a little extra in there according to the money he gave them without even making a condition stand there. We give him a little extra. So he's forward paying, and they're giving him back now more than he paid for. Atal kamed Rav Asher, careful Rav Asher. Amar le mishare, is this permissible over here? Amar le in achule udeka machale gabach, which means this tosefet yain that they're giving it to you as a matta, because you didn't. It's not a bidoraita for sure. You aren't posek. You didn't come along and say, I'm giving you this. Yeah. Give me this. So first of all, you have to start off with the beat. At most, the Rabbanan. That's at most. So in this case over here, and they're not speaking it out. They didn't say, this Tosefet that we're giving you is for the money that you prepaid us. They're not speaking that out either. So in this case over here, we consider it a Matana Be'alma. Comes the Gemara and says, Marle. So Ravina tells Rav Asher, Ha Ara Lav Diduhi. Another problem. Forget about the repeat issue over here. The Karka does not belong to them. Which means, this field was repossessed by the king. The people that own these fields of the graves did not pay their taxes. As a result, the government repossesses these fields. These guys came and they took the field over and they're paying the taxes now. But the Chavrat's at the field, so the Chavrat begins him. So Gemara says, Amar leh, ar'a l'taska m'sha'veda. The land is mishubad to the guy that pays the taxes. Umalka Amar, the dean of the Malchut is like this. Mandiyaif taska, nikhul ar'a. Dina the Malchuta, dina rules over here. The one that pays the taxes owns the field. This guy don't pay taxes, throw him off. Next guy takes over. So therefore, from dina the Malchuta, we're not worried about that the field is stolen. The government declares that it's theirs, therefore you have no problem. Another story. Amale Rabba Rava. Hazeh Mor Hane Rabbanan Diyahave Zuzeh Abarga De Inche. Akarga Mehira Akarga De Inche. Now what happens? These guys, they pay head taxes for other people. Other Jews owe taxes. The rabbis come along and say, we'll pick up the tax for you. And as a result, they work them now. You're my slave now. I paid the tax for you. You can come work for me. So they kept the right. That's not nice. A Jew's not allowed to make another Jew work for him. So he comes along and says, wow, I'm glad you asked me this question because I need to tell you a chidush. Amar le, hashta ichu shechiva lo amru lechu hamilta. Says, Barmanan, if I would have died, I would have been able to tell you this chidush that I want to tell you. So it's good that you asked me now, so I can tell you how this works. Achi Amar Rav Sheshat, Moharka Yehudahane Betafsa de Malka Manach, which means these Moharkayu is the seal of servitude, okay, of work of these people belongs to the king. Their work belongs to the king, and the king makes a declaration. O Malka Amar, Mandelo Yaif Karga. The king decides the work. And the king says, you pay the taxes, you don't work. You don't pay the taxes, the one that pays for you, you become his slave. So now, it doesn't mean you could work them excessively and do things that are menial, but you're able to work them. There's no problem. Look at Rashi now. Rashi says, look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, let's catch up on all the Rashi's here, boys. Start off with Lebne Akra de Shanbata. That's the last case. Shanbata Shem Nahar. Okay, that's the name of the river. Svat Oto Nahar. That's where the wine was. V'evlu Ravina Zuze Lefne Batsir. He would give him wine before the harvest. Latetu Yain V'et Batsir Kishat Kishara Yotze. Based on whatever the market comes out. Could be the market was more, obviously, if it was getting the beat. Bishafku letfe kofita. Oh, but whatever he paid for, basically. So that wasn't a beat, because he said, whatever the market is, that's what you give me. So that was not a beat over there. But they ate an extra. Acholem, acholem gabach. Here's the key, Rashi. Ho'il velo pasak emahem. First of all, it's not katsut, so he didn't speak it out. Furthermore, it's not the beat Meuchedet. The beat Meuchedet, that's post-dated to the beat, is where I send you a gift and say, by the way, thanks for holding up your money by me. Here's a gift. He didn't say nothing. He just put a little extra in the barrels. Next one. What do you mean? The land doesn't belong to them. What do these guys do? They're wise guys. They see all lands that can be repossessed by the king. These guys couldn't pay their taxes. So what they do? They left their fields.
Right,
you can't steal karka, belongs to the original owner. That I didn't make a kinyan on it. That ishul be'alim uperot gezem. So he told him, taska mashel karka karga kesef. So that's called taska. That's called the dinya de makuta. Therefore, whoever pays the tax owns the field. Now the next one is karga. Karga is head tax. Kesef gulgulta. So kol ha-Yehudim kol echad noten kesef gulgalto la-melech mohoraiku hotam avdut shelahem, which means no, avdut, yes, of course, which means the seal of, you have avdut in Hashi? No, it's avdut. The avdut, it belongs to the king. He decides who works for who. Bittafsa be'argaz shel melech munah, it's in the king's basket, so to speak. Bare kulam avadim lo. Everybody slaves to the king. The dinah, the makudah dinah. Okay, so therefore, they pay. So the Gemara says, Rab Se'oram, Ahud Rava. Okay, Rab Se'oram, the brother of Rava. Havat takif in shed lo ma'ale. He would find people that were not good people, shed lo ma'ale, people that were not hagunim. He would find these guys. And he would force them to work for his brother. Rava, they used to carry him on like a couch. So Rav Se'oram, his brother, Rava's brother, would find these guys, force them to go carry Rava.
They didn't pay taxes.
So therefore he went and he worked them.
They were bad people.
We have to see exactly why we hired them. Okay. We'll see now, yes. Anyway, so they're carrying Rava's Merkava now. Amal Rava, Shapir Kavat. Good, it's good that you're getting to work. The Tarina, Laita, do you see your brother? She'en or Rekashura, he's not acting the right way. Minay Chatana Shail Shtabedbo. Nothing to do with taxes. These guys stand with bad guys. So the Rava said, you know what? Good, let them work. How do I know if you see your brother that's not acting the right way, that you could put him into servitude? Tamud Omar, Le'olam Bahem Ta'avodu Ub'achechem. Now really the context of the Pasuk is Le'olam Bahem Ta'avodu is by Eved Kenani, but by your brother, don't do that. But we can read the Pasuk Le'olam Bahem Ta'avodu, work the Eved Kenani Ub'achechem, and sometimes even your brother you're going to work. Yachol Afilu Noe Kesura. You think even if he's acting the right way, Tamud Amar, Ub'achechem in Israel, Ish Ba'achev, and then the Pasuk says, Lo Tirdebo, Befarech, Amar of Hamma, Hayman Diyahiv Zuzel Lechavrel Lemizban Lechamra. Guy gives his friend money in order to go buy wine at the time of the harvesting over there. That's when the wine is sold cheap. And he gives him the money originally, Upasha. He was poshay and negligent. Velo zavine. He didn't buy him. Mishalem le kedeka azil aparvata de zul shefat. He has to pay him wine according to the price that's sold in the port of Zul Shefat. That's the port over there. That's where there was a lot of wine. And it was sold at the cheap prices, which means he's obligated to get him the cheap price. He has to go there to get him the wine, because he was considered a poshe. Yeah, let's get Rashi on these subjects over here. Start Rashi. Goharka. Hagala mukhenet merkevet Adam. Okay, that was Rava. They used to carry him in a goharka, in a couch.
Right,
like a wagon. More like a stretcher or a couch, actually. Bahem ta'avodu b'achechem, namet ta'avodu. Lemizban lehamra, leknot lo yayin bizman abbatzir, umishalem lo yayin lefi damim kalim shekonim oto. He pays him, gives him money to go buy the wine, and they were posheya. So the deen is, shem makom sheya nikach, venimkad sham lerov alokhin yayin bimot abbatzir. What's the hadush in that case?
If you can't get the wine at a good price.
He's got to go all the way over there and get it?
He's not available. He's got to pay the loss.
He's got to pay the loss. So he could have bought it for him. Right? So Meshalim Nick, the Kazi, you got to pay him based on what the price the cheap wine was. You got to pay him the difference. Amar Amemor. Amirta Lishmata Kamed Rav Zvid Merda'a. Amar Ki Kamar Rav Hamma. Oh, when did Rav Hamma make his deen? That you got to pay the losses. Hani mi libi yayin setam. That's what he told him. Stam, go be boy. Aval bi yayin lo. But he tells him this specific why, then he doesn't have to pay him for the cheaper items. Why? Who says they were selling that wine? That wine maybe would not be available. They weren't able to buy it in the first place. So therefore, just give him his money back. He doesn't have to now compensate him for not getting what he asked for at the cheaper price, because since he specified the wine, he might not have received it in the first place. Guy gave his friend money in order to buy him wine in the time of the harvest. At that time over there, the wine is cheap. So he gave him money in order to get a certain amount of wine for a certain amount of cheap. He forward paid him. Upasha, the guy was negligent for those of them. They did not buy the wine. So he has to pay him wine according to what he was able to get it at the port of Zulshifat. That was the port over there where they used to sell the wines over there. Even though now the price is more expensive, he has to compensate from his own wines in order to give the guy the price that was settled upon. Amar Amemor says, wait, there's a condition. I said this halakha in front of Rav Zvid ben Hardaya. Amar, and he said, ki amar Rav Hamma, when Rav Hamma said his deen, that he's got to pay the cheaper price, he's got to give him wine from the cheaper price. Ani mili biyayin setam. That's only when the guy didn't stipulate what type of wine. He just told him, get me wine. However, aval biyayin zeh. But if the guy stipulated, I want this specific wine, he gave him a specific wine, the shaliach does not have to give him the cheaper goods. Mi yemar de mizabne le nihaleh. Because who said they would have sold him that wine? So you can't say he's negligent in the sense that, oh, you should have gotten the wine was the wine was available. So you should have got it for him. So if it's on you, Mashiach, if you told him a specific wine, you can't say it was his fault. Who said he was able to procure that wine in the first place? Therefore, there is no problem. Right. Lo ayah lemishaleah, the sender should not have relied on him. Shemalu yimsal kunyain kaza dafka. Exactly. Comes to Rav Asher, Amar afilu yain setam namelo. Wow. Rav Asher says, even on regular wines, the sender was not on the hook. Even though he didn't buy the wine at a cheaper price, he is not obligated. Why? Maitama asmachta hi. Because this is called a case of asmachta. The asmachta lo kanya. Meaning, over here, the shaliah was being a little wishful thinking. He said, don't worry, I'll get you the wine for cheap. I'll take care of it. If I don't get it for you, then I'll take care of it for you. I'll make sure I get you this price. Now, in this case over here, this is called asmachta, meaning when a person wants to make a deal, so he says things that he doesn't think are going to happen. He never thought that he's not going to be able to get the wine, and then he's going to have to put from his own wine in. He thought he'd be able to get the wine for cheap. If I don't get it, I'll take care of it myself, I'll pay you. This is called asmachta. So therefore the deen is asmachta lo kan rashi. Afilu iptiho, even if he promised him ba'amar, im eni kone lecha, if I don't buy it, ipara mishiri, he tells me ferush, if I don't buy the wine, I'll pay you myself. And zu el asmachta velo kanumit, they didn't make a kinyan, these were all words. So therefore it's all words, exactly, therefore it's not binding. Therefore, even on Yain Stam, if you didn't buy it, he cannot come back and say, but you said, wow. Means, if haftachat the shaliach, the guarantee of the messenger, lesapek yayin lemeshaleach, he promised him to get him wine at the cheap price, even if he'll have to add a little money to it, yasmachta, that's, you're obligating yourself something that's, above and beyond, you add it to the normal thing. So Rav Asher, asmachta is not kone, because he really never meant it. I told you I was exaggerating. I didn't mean it. Therefore, he does not oblige. Therefore, even on Yain Stam, it's not going to be a problem. So, Gemara has a question. Rav Asher, but according to Rav Asher, That's the this answer that we just said over here. Why is this case of the wine different than from a case that we learned in a Mishnah? We can have a case over there on Kufdalid. A guy receives a field from his friend, sharecropping. Okay, he's going to plow it, he's going to do all the jobs to it, plant it, reap it, and he's going to take a certain percentage of the cropping over there, and the rest goes to the landlord. Okay, and what happened, he didn't plow it, he didn't plant it, he didn't do anything, he let it go to waste. So the deen is, we calculate how much was the field able to produce, and then he's got to give to the landlord. Okay? Because he wrote that in the document of the deal of the sharecropping. Now read the Gemara. Im ovir velo avid, meaning if I'm lazy and I let the field go fallow and I don't work, ashalem b'mitva, I will pay you full value. I will pay you the best field, best property. Now that's also an exaggerated claim a little, but the deal is he's got to pay it. So we read Rabbi Asher, you say asmach does not koneh. But how come in the case of a sharecropper, when a guy comes over and says, I'm guaranteeing you, if I don't work the field, I'll pay you top dollar. Why do you say that that case is considered binding? Ibn Rajab gives a simple chiluk. Hatam biyado. Acha lav biyado. Which means, when it comes to the case of the field, it's in his ability to work the field. He has the ability to go plow it and make it good and all that. So then when he says, if I don't do it, I'll give you this. Because he could have made it happen where he will not have to come to his condition. He could have worked the field. But Jacob, when it comes to the wine, if he says, if I don't get you this wine, I'm going to pay extra. It's not in his hands to get the wine, because who's going to even find the wine? So therefore, it's not an exaggeration of asmachta. So therefore, just because in the case of the sharecropping, you take his word seriously, doesn't mean in the case of the wine, you don't have to take him seriously. The difference is hatam. Biyado. Look at Ashi. La biyado, top line on. Ayin dalit sheme lo yimkiren mudo. For the simple reason, they might not sell it to him. So therefore, stop, he's exaggerating. It's totally out of his control. That's basically the point. It's totally out of his control. So therefore, the deen according to Rav Asher is asmachta lo kanya. Therefore, he did not obligate himself. How can he obligate himself? I'm not going to get the wine. So if I'm not going to get you the wine, I'll get you very cheap. I'll give it to you cheap and I'll replenish it from my own money. He didn't mean it. He didn't even know if he was able to get the one in the first place. Therefore, Stami's talking. Therefore, it's a smachta, and therefore he says, Lokanya. Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen.